Take your Bible this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Thank God for the good congregational singing. I missed the choir, and hopefully that'll come back one of these days. But all the singing has been tremendous this morning. Been flavored and favored toward the grace of God. The grace of God. That ought to grab something deep down inside of you if you saved this morning. The grace of God should mean something to you. Amen. We're going to be dealing with this morning the subject of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. Take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4. Look at verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, I still hear pages turning. I'll give you a moment. I'm not rushing you at all. Take your time. It's important to bring your Bible. It's important to look along and follow in the Word of God. Get you a copy of God's true Word, a King James Bible, and it'll read just like this. 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. That's a very important phrase. As every man hath received the gift. If you know anything of the grace of God this morning, you did not earn it. You did not work for it. You did not achieve it. No, it was a gift. A gift from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Even so, if we have received this gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I've preached messages from this text before, but this morning we're going to go a different route and deal with the manifold grace of God. Being a mechanic, what we used to refer to it, because those that had been to school and learned anything about working on cars, we didn't like to be referred to as mechanics. We like to be referred to as technicians. So either way you want to put it, I found out none of that really mattered. Just come down to what you knew and how you could do it. So mechanics or technicians or whatever, I learned at some point through studying in school and then putting my hands on a car, there's a thing called a manifold, an exhaust manifold, an intake manifold. And here we see this word in God's Word, the manifold grace of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, on a car, and where my mind went to when I read that, was a source of air coming through that engine, and that air is split off into many different directions, and it goes into this part and that part and that part and that part, and accomplishes the goal that it was given, and it's to distribute into different places and parts of an engine to get the most out of what it was sent there to do. And so the grace of God, there's not 50 different varieties of God's grace. However, according to God's Word that we just read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible speaks of the manifold grace of God. And so this morning I want to look at several different avenues or different parts or different ways or faces concerning the grace of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Boy, I can identify with that. We're living in a day where we need help from God. We're living right now, apart from salvation, which we'll get to in just a minute, but apart from being saved by the grace of God, apart from other areas, just in 2020 in America, we need help from God in this time. And the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. How many of you are living right now in a time of need? You say, your needs may not be the same as mine. I grant you that, but I dare say we all this morning are in need of something. And God gave us a promise that we could come to His throne, the throne of grace, and find grace to help us in a time of need. It may be a need in your home. It may be a need in your marriage. It may be a need with your children. It may be a need this morning of salvation. And I'm glad God will not fall short on any of those. He can get you through the manifold grace of God, whatever grace and help you need. Amen. The Bible says, the word grace is found 170 times in this King James Bible. So God has a lot to say about grace. I will make you smile this morning. I don't have 170 points. So we have had to condense the message, and so we only got about 70 points this morning. I'm just kidding. Somebody said concerning grace, somebody said it this way and made an acrostic, and you've probably seen it or heard it, but grace, G, God's, R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's a good definition for grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. We could not have received any good thing from God apart from what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Because God's a holy God. He's 100% holy, and He will not ever wink at sin or look over sin. And we are sinners, and by our very nature and continuing in sin, God would have to withdraw and separate Himself. But what Christ did opened the door so sinners like me and you can get in on the grace of God. And so that's a good definition of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. C.I. Schofield said grace, well, it's a good definition in this modern time. C.I. Schofield said grace is the unmerited, unrecompensed, undeserved favor of God. Oh, yes, that's good. That's good. So let's look at a few of these manifold graces of God. Number one, I want to talk to you for a minute about the sovereign grace of God. You say, what is that? Oh, preacher, we're not Presbyterian. Stay away from that sovereignty. Well, you don't have to be a Presbyterian in this day and hour. A lot of Baptists are mixed up with that word, sovereign. God, listen, we can have our doctrine absolutely straight and biblical, which it should be, and not get mixed up or messed up or have to shy away from or bow our heads or say this word silently or under our breath. No, God is a sovereign God. He rules the universe. He is the God above all gods. He's Lord of lords, King of kings, and there is nothing out of control. God's still sitting on His throne. He is sovereign. No matter what somebody has hijacked and trying to say, God's sovereign, therefore that makes us robots and we're just moving to God. No, 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 no. God gave us a free will. We have something inside of us that gives us the decision-making opportunity that we can do. God give us a volition and a will to decide and choose what we want. But God's sovereign grace. Have you ever read, listen, and I have not forgot about the series we started on the songs and hymns, and we're going to get back to preaching some of those, but in doing some of that study, I run across this. Have you ever read about the man who wrote that song, Amazing Grace? We've just sang it this morning. It is the most popular song this world has ever known. Amazing Grace. That's right. Have you ever read about the man who wrote it? John Newton is his name. John Newton was a lost, wicked sinner. And he was on a slave trader ship in the late 1700s. And he was lost. He was out there in wickedness, living dirty, nasty, vile, wretched life. And a storm came up out on that sea where he was sailing and traveling with those trade and slave trader ships. And a man, as that storm came up and was the boat to and fro, and they were reeling and rocking, and men was pleading out and calling on God to save them and help them. A man truly went to John Newton and witnessed to him and gave him the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there on that ship, that slave trading ship, John Newton bowed his knee and called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him, and he was saved. Now listen, John Newton ended up becoming a pastor and ended up writing over 200 songs. Had a Powerful, powerful life. But it started, you said, what has this got to do with the sovereign grace of God? I want to tell you what it's got to do. How many of us was that close to going to hell? Like John Newton was lost out on the sea of sin and wasn't looking for God, but God in His sovereign grace came looking for us. I'm saying before we ever looked and made one step toward God, before we ever pivoted and headed for God, God had already summoned the Holy Ghost to come hunting us, and like a coon dog on a hot trail, He was boo, boo, and He was chasing us and treeing us. And that's how we knew we was in trouble with God. Oh yes, God made the first move, friend. It is the sovereign grace. If you're experiencing God's grace this morning, it's because, not because you went to Him, but He first came to you. Amen. And imagine where we'd be this morning had God not came in His sovereign grace. You could have been born this morning in Africa, in China, and some Muslim world where you never hear the name Jesus ever mentioned, much less preached. But God in His sovereign grace let you be born where you could hear the gospel. That's grace. That's God's sovereign grace. I can't, listen, say, explain, why do some people not get to hear and others get to hear? I can't explain it. I just trust that God in His sovereign mind and will knows what He's doing. And I just say, thank God I got to hear the glorious gospel. That's according to and because of the grace of a sovereign God. Amen. Amen. That's right. Well, could you imagine this morning how close we was to going to hell? Oh yes, there's many car wrecks that could have took us out before we said yes to Jesus. And if you hadn't said yes to Jesus on this day, on this Sunday, on this Lord's Day, what in the world are you waiting on? You're wide open on your way to hell. It'd be a shame to sit under a church roof and hear the gospel preached and hear the Word of God preached and be around other people headed for heaven while you're headed for hell and not take God up on His offer. The sovereign God of heaven came by, as He did John Newton, the man who penned Amazing Grace, found him on a sea, found him on a ship, and saved his sinful soul. He came to a church building this morning to get to you. Would you turn Him away? Why would you? The sovereign God of the universe came to Him, and He came to us. And I thank God. That's the sovereign grace of God when He came to us before we even knew we needed Him. Amen. And there's a lot of other things we could deal with concerning the sovereign grace of God, but we'll move on. Number two, the saving grace of God. Could I say this morning, wouldn't none of us be saved if it wasn't for the saving grace of God? We'd all still be lost in our sin. I would still be headed for hell. But listen, we'd be on our way to hell if not already in hell. Because the life that I was living, the way I was headed, I would probably already be buried somewhere and in a devil's hell. But God came in saving grace. Oh yes, yes, yes. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, you know the verse as well, for by grace are you saved through faith? And that, not of yourselves, it is the gift. There's that word again. The gift of God. Remember in verse 10, we read in 1 Peter, the Bible says, as every man has received of the gift, it goes on to talk about the manifold grace of God. Here it is, talking about saving grace. Listen, the Bible said in Ephesians 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You can't be good enough. You ain't good enough. I ain't good enough. I can't do enough. I can't earn enough. I can't give enough. I can't work hard enough to get this grace. No, if you get it, it'll be given you freely. No strings attached. It's a gift, meaning take it or leave it, but it's there for the taking. Amen. Wonder how many people's saving grace has been hand-delivered to them by none other than God Himself, only to be unopened and left. Wonder how many people in hell this very moment that I'm preaching is screaming from the charred wall pits of the damned, and their grace that was served them, their saving grace was brought to them, and they shunned it and left it I say, sinner friend, why would you leave the saving grace of God and head for a devil's hell when God has done everything He had to do to pay the way? You don't have to pay your way. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do enough. God done it for you. The difference between Christianity, true Christianity, the faith that we have, and every other denomination, religion, and cult out there is they say you have to do and do this and do that and do this. Good enough, and check these boxes and give and go and do and do. No, the difference is we have, ours is done, it's finished. Jesus done the work, and it's a gift. Oh, it's a gift. That's saving grace. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. When a man works for something, that's a wage. Wouldn't you agree? When a man works for something, that's a wage. When a man competes for something and that's a prize. When a man gives service and gets something in return, that's an award. But listen, none of those is the correct definition of a gift. A gift is something that's freely given. You don't do anything but receive it. Amen. That's how easy getting saved is. I know, and I'm not an easy believism preacher at all this morning. Never have been. And if I have erred on any ditch, it's probably on the other end of making it too hard and too complicated and saying, if you didn't do it this way and you didn't do it that way and this wasn't the condition, I'm going to tell you something. God bless your heart. Listen to me. If you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and trust and believe, you will be saved. If you confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God and you put your faith in Him, and call on His name, He will save you. Yeah. Period. It ain't hard. He made it easy. Listen, how many of you daddies out there would go to the effort and work and save and get a present and it come birthday for your child and your little baby and you get there and you hold it up where they can't reach it and toy with them? That wasn't your motive to begin with. You didn't go to work thinking, I'm going to make this so hard for them. No, you went to make it easy. You went to make it free. You wasn't going to make them work for it, earn it, and try for it. No, and it'd be like, God ain't up in heaven holding salvation out of your reach. No, my friend. He puts it way down low where sinners and young people and old people can get it freely. That's saving grace. It ain't hard, but it is there, and it has to be done or you won't get it. You must receive it. Yes. As every man hath received the gift, the Bible said. I didn't even know that old song, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Paul said, when I got saved, it was just the grace of God. Paul said, I am the chief among sinners. I'm talking about saving grace. Paul didn't say, oh, wretched man that I was. Ain't what the Bible says. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Even after being saved. Read Romans chapter 7. He's saved. He said, oh, wretched man, I'm still a wretch. I'm still a wretch. And so are you. I'm just a saved wretch. When John Newton penned those words, saved a wretch like me. Hey, listen, he understood what he was. He knew deep down better than anybody else. He didn't need nobody to gossip and tell his story. He knew what he was. He was a wretch. And so are you, and so am I. But oh, what saving grace will do to any lost soul. It'll save you. It'll save you. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I am the chief of sinners. That saved a wretch like me. Saving grace. Sovereign grace. Number three, schooling grace. You know grace can teach you? Grace can teach you, Brother Cam, better than a preacher. This has been another one of my slip-ups and hard-learned lessons, Brother Ned. I used to think I could preach it hard enough and straight enough and mean enough and loud enough and long enough and people better get it. Bless God, if they didn't, I was going to preach it longer and harder and louder and stronger. And they was going to get it one way or the other because I was going to get it to them. Amen. You know what I learned, Brother Jimmy? I can't change nobody. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Hey, listen to me. I'm telling you, listen, there is someone who will teach you and guide you into all truth, and the grace and goodness of God is the best teacher I know. Amen. Way better than the law. What the law could not do, grace can do and will do and will teach and train us. No better teacher. Oh, bless His name for the good teacher of grace. I'm saying grace can school us. There's schooling grace. Look at what the Bible says. No, Titus 2:11. By the way, talking about the school before I read these verses. In this school of grace, there are no graduates walking down here. We're still all in school. So before you think you have apprehended, as Paul said, I have not apprehended. I have not got there. I have not graduated. And so there are no graduates down here, and we're all students. Would you agree? In this school of grace. I hope you have enlisted and signed up. But the Bible says in Titus 2:11, very familiar verse, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What a verse. Hey, you can put your name in that verse. All men. Some of these predestinated nut jobs out there, some of these people who get off on the bad end and wrong end of God's sovereignty where we started out with, and they don't understand and they try to make God into something that He's not. Listen to me. They have real trouble with verses like this. For the grace of God hath appeared to all. Well, that messes up your limited atonement. Because the last I checked, all means is all. And that's all means. All means all. And the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Yes. It do our country. It do our leaders. It do some of these out there protesting in 2020. It do us all good to realize red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. The grace of God will visit each and every one, despite color, creed, or culture. Yes, the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Why? Look at verse 12. This is where the school comes in. Sign up. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. You know, we was preaching from there last couple weeks. I had to get off that track. I wanted to go back and finish that because I never got to the message. But I'm saying it's still right. It's still the correct thing to do, to live godly in this present ungodly world. I'm not going to get back on murmuring and complaining. We done preached on that. I hope we've dealt and fixed some of that. Amen. But I'm going to say, listen, that's part of the school that grace will bring. Amen. God's telling us, hey, listen, it's one thing to live by rules and regulations, thou shalt and thou shalt nots, and check off the box. But I'm going to tell you, you'll run yourself ragged, you'll wear out, you'll tire out, you'll give out trying to live by a rule book. But oh, get in the school of grace, and grace will lead you and take you to higher places and higher planes and get you into the presence of a God who loves you, and He'll do it in love, and He'll do it in grace. Oh yes, the school of grace. There's no better school to enroll in. The school of grace. Now look, it'll take you out of the mire and put you in the choir. But blesses my heart to see Kevin serving the Lord and working for the Lord. Hey, listen, I know a lot's been said about him over the last few weeks, and I've said a lot about him, and I've had a lot said to me about him. But you know what it is? People are noticing God moving in somebody's life. They say, well, God's moving in mine? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will get to you. God will shine the light on you. But right now, I say bless the Lord that God has got down in somebody's life and enrolled them in the school of grace and teaching them and taking them to higher realms. Amen. Yes, sir. And that's for any and all. If you want to get in that class, all you have to do is get in. And grace will train and teach us all better. How to be a better husband. I could get up here and snort and scream and holler and tell you, God bless your little one-day-old marriage. Bless God, you better do this, and you better not say that, and you better... I'm going to tell you, let me just save you a lot of trouble. Just enroll. Purposefully and get into the school of God's grace and let Him train you and teach you. Spend time with Him in the private, and God will reward you in the public. He'll help your marriage to be stronger in grace. He'll help you to raise your children better in grace and under grace in the school of grace, and teaching and working with them in grace is so much better than ruling over them with a rod of iron.
Yes.
You will help your children more, and I will help my children more, training them in the school of grace. That ain't letting them off scot-free every time something happens. No, my friend. Can I submit this to you? The bar and the level under grace is much higher than that of this under the law. It's just done out of love, not out of living and having to do that. No, it's just done being led and trained and pulled, compelled out of love and grace, the school of grace. Amen? All right? So we see the sovereign saving grace, schooling grace. Number four, sufficient grace. That's a good one. Yeah. I'm glad grace ain't come up short yet. I'm glad I'm never, not one morning, got up in the morning as the sun come up and went to get my grace for that day. And God said, I'm sorry, get in line. I'm sorry, the lines are busy. I'm sorry, I'm dealing with somebody else. Every morning, just as faithful as the sun's come up in the morning, God's grace has been there sufficient every single day of my life and yours.
Yeah.
Oh, it's sufficient. It's sufficient. It ain't run out. Listen, it ain't run dry. God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, we could just stop and not go any further, which I drew a line under this point and knew I probably wouldn't get no further than right here. I thank God for sovereign grace. I do. I'm not belittling it at all. I thank God. I mean, because of saving grace, this old sinner boy is saved this morning. I praise God for saving grace. I thank God from the bottom of my heart for schooling grace. I do. Every day I thank God for grace that'll teach me. And not, but you know, all that would be inadequate, insufficient. I couldn't count on it if it wasn't for the sufficiency of the grace of God. It's sufficient. It is there every time I need it. I ain't going to wake up tomorrow and have to worry and wonder if I'm still going to be saved. No, I'm still going to be saved 10 million years from now, because the grace of God is sufficient. And when 10 trillion years have come and gone, the grace of God will still keep me and contain me in heaven, because His grace is sufficient. You can't out-sin the grace of God. The Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. In my life, I love Galatians 2:20. It said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You can't frustrate God's grace. In other words, you can't, no matter how hard you work at it, you can't frustrate God's grace. I know some people, and I'm one of them. I'll tell you, I get frustrated. I get frustrated with people. You say, no, surely not. Oh, yeah, surely so. Try me. Don't look at me, you pious Baptist. You get frustrated with people, let me go talk to your husband, ma'am. Let me go talk to your wife, sir. Let's fix all those parents. Let me go talk to your children, mom and daddy. Hey, you young people, let me go talk to your mom and daddy, youngins. You know what's easy for us? We get frustrated. Yeah. People wear on our nerves. You've just about had it with people.
Yeah.
Become a pastor. You get frustrated. It's part of this old flesh. I hate it, but it's the truth. Bobby, I get frustrated. I get aggravated. Had it up to here at times with people. But you know what? The Bible says God's grace is so sufficient. It don't matter how much you wear on Him, how long you tarry with Him, how aggravating you get to God, you cannot frustrate God's grace.
Amen.
It's that sufficient.
Amen.
It's that sufficient.
Yes.
Somebody in this church, I'm not going to call a name, but somebody texted me over the past 2 weeks and said, Preacher, some of my family and me were talking, and can you lose your salvation? That ain't the best conversation to have over text, but But I didn't want to leave it unanswered. I said, no, you can't lose your salvation. If you've ever truly been saved, that's a one and done deal. If you've ever been born again, you are saved. If you have been born again, you are saved. Yeah. You know why? Because God's grace is sufficient. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes.
Yes.
Yes. You know why? Because, Brother J.D., I wouldn't be saved still today.
Yes, sir.
I would have lost it, Bobby. Oh, goodness. And not just way back there and all that big old fluorescent stuff y'all know about me. I'd have lost it this morning.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's hard to be the one preaching to you with all that baggage, but that's the truth. Amen. My wife sent me a text right before church. And I lost it right then when I read it. I was frustrated. What in the world? You know what verse came to mind? Get thee behind me, Satan! No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Get thee behind me, Satan. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm just simply saying to you, honestly, today on the Lord's Day, Brother Jimmy, I'd have lost it already if it was up to me. Brother Donnie, I ain't good enough and you ain't either. But ain't you glad God's grace is good enough to keep you, to keep you, to keep you safe till Jesus comes and takes us home?
Yes, sir.
You can't live it. You ain't going to live it. Go ahead and resign to the fact that you're going to give up every time you don't live it, because you ain't going to. And ain't no sense in giving up. Get your tail up off the ground and serve God in the grace of God. Enroll in the school of God. Thank God for saving grace and sovereign grace and schooling grace. And what's his point? Sufficient grace. It's sufficient. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? Hallelujah. It's glad. I ain't got time to deal with this, but hey, going right along. Paul, remember where he said, I had a thorn in the flesh? Let me say this. A lot of preachers, a lot of preachers say that thorn in the flesh was his vision.
What?
Yeah. Hey, many places you'll see, he said, that's why I wrote to you in such a large letter and this and that. And he had vision problems. And a lot of people think, a lot of preachers, a lot of scholars believe that thorn in the flesh that was given to Paul because he was writing the Bible and doing all this stuff, it was his vision. I don't believe that. You know why? Read the next words. It's a messenger of Satan. To buffet him, beat him black and blue.
Yes, sir.
He said, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. And in that context, read on. You know what it says? Lest I be exalted above measure. You know what I believe? Don't get cross with me over this, but this is what I believe. I believe Paul was a man just like I am. I believe Paul had inadequacies. I believe Paul was not a god. I believe Paul was not some subhuman man. I believe Paul had a real thorn in the flesh. Something that was real. Something that on three occasions he went to the Lord and prayed about. Said, God, I need to get this out of my life. I need you to remove this from me. It was something that hindered him. Something that tormented him. You got a sin like that? You say, if it wasn't for this one thing, boy, I'd be moving on with the Lord. But there's one thing. You know that one thing you pray about most? That one problem in the flesh? What about a thorn in the what? Flesh. You know where your biggest trouble comes from? The flesh. Lest you be exalted above measure, God said, I ain't taking that from you. Why? So you don't get so prideful God can't use you. Paul went to the Lord three times. First prayer meeting, Paul said, hey, brothers, sisters, y'all got to pray for me. This thing's killing me. I need to move on for God, but this thing is killing me. And ultimately, first prayer meeting, second prayer meeting, third prayer meeting, and Paul, you don't hear him asking about it no more. Because God said, hey, verse we just read, Paul, I know you got a thorn. I know you think this is keeping you from going and growing for me and doing and reaching those heights for me. Won't you just stay down low and let me leave that thorn and you work for me. and stay low doing it.
Amen.
Do you see how he says my strength is made perfect in weakness? Do you understand, you weak? Do you understand you have sins that hold you back? Quit. Drop the front, man. Who you think you are? Who you think you're going to impress? I'm the preacher telling you this inside baseball. I have thrown the doors open. Listen, I'm telling you, I got my sin. I got my weights that so does so easily beset me. I live with them. Is that right? No, it ain't right. Is that okay? No, it ain't okay. It's a thorn in my flesh. It bothers me. It burdens me. But God don't remove everyone. Your flesh is still there. You still you. You still going to live with it. Why? So you don't get exalted above measure. Yeah. Try to become like what most Baptists pretend to be today. Mr. Superficial. Mr. I got you fooled. What good are you doing to look it? Just be who you are. Be weak if that's what God wants you to be. But be usable. Be pliable in the hand of God. Understanding God's grace is sufficient. He will get up. And I promise you, you just limp your way to God and let Him. He'll use you even in your limp. He will use you even with a broke hand, even with a slurred mouth. God will use a weak vessel and get glory out of it. Oh, yes. Yes, He will. Yes, they will. Get over this mess that you got to get to a place in life where you can be usable. God will use you if you'll just get honest with Him. He'll use you. There ain't nothing you're doing that should prevent you from getting a pack of tracts on your way out to church. I don't care how you're living today. Hand out gospel tracts. It ain't you that saves them. It's the gospel. It's the power of the gospel. Get the gospel out. I don't care how you look. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how low you are. Get the gospel out. If Paul stopped every time this thorn bothered him, imagine how little of the mission trips and the gospel would have spread around the globe and how little of the Word of God we would have if he quit every time he felt like it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Get some tracts. Hey, tell somebody. Invite somebody. Tell them you go to church with a bunch of people who ain't perfect. Hey. We don't claim to be perfect. We ain't perfect. So come be a part of an unperfect, imperfect church that celebrates and worships and praises and glorifies one who is. Amen. That's who saved us.
Amen.
And be thankful He uses such mess as we.
Amen.
Such wretch as we. I'm telling you, that's amazing. I can't articulate. I'm going to just be done and come back this evening, Lord willing, and finish this. But let me say this in closing. I can't articulate to you how powerful this truth I'm preaching right now is. It is not a license to sin. If that's what you're getting from this, you are mixed up and I have messed up delivering this message. It ain't a license to sin. It's letting you know that in spite of who you are and all that you think you are, there's a God in heaven who has grace so sufficient He can still use you. You know why our churches are folding up and crumbling and barely getting by? Because people are convinced they can't be used by God until they reach perfection. Hello, Tokyo. Are you hearing what I just said? You ain't going to get there. Not in this lifetime. You ain't going to get there. So start now working and serving now. That lie of the devil, you will never reach your place to where you can serve if you're waiting to get good enough. Because you ain't never going to get there till you get to heaven. Till we lay down this old body of that problem that Paul had. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of flesh? That thorn in the flesh. So, hey, Paul, he surrendered to the whole idea, Brother Ned. I got to get good enough. I got to get tall enough and high enough. Keep in mind, he was coming from a religion to where you did have to walk your way up a spiritual ladder to be recognized and usable under the law. But he realized under grace, it ain't about getting high, it's about getting low. Everything I've ever learned is dead opposite. Under grace, God's grace, it ain't in my sufficiency, it's in His. we understand and get that, it'll change and transform our church, because instead of one or two or three or four working and serving, you too, friend, can start right here in our church. And you need to, because our church is only as strong as you are. And you are part of the church. If you saved and a member of Morningstar Baptist Church, you are the church.
Yes.
And until you start serving, look at what a gaping hole you're leaving. And don't criticize and gripe and complain about how our church is doing when you ain't doing your part.
Amen.
If our church was as strong as you are, how strong would our church be?
Amen.
Hey, quit, please, I beg of you, in closing, I beg of you, please quit throwing that noose around my neck expecting me to pull this long tugboat called Morningstar Baptist Church, because I am just a man like you and I cannot do it.
Amen.
The success of this church will not rise or fall on me and in me. I'm just a man. This is a church. This is God's church, and if you're part of it, you ought to be the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That means pray for the church. Pray for the people of the church. Call people in the church. Miss Blanche, I just said in the announcements, you ought to be listening. Miss Blanche fails. She needs encouragement. Miss Patsy, she needs encouragement. You got every bit of information in your bulletin. Send her a card. How many of us sent cards to Miss Patsy? How many of us called Miss Patsy and talked to her and just let her know her church misses her, loves her, prays for her? And I'm just saying, that's how churches get strong. That's how people know you care. Not just hearing from the preacher every now and then, but hearing from the people. And if just two a day, just two people from this side of the church a day would do that, she'd be flooded with phone calls. She would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not just a call from the preacher, but my church loves, cares, thinking about me, hadn't forgotten me up in this God-forsaken place. She was faithful when she could to do everything she could to be part and build up and pray for, faithful to this church. Now when she's down under heaven, it ought to behoove us to do everything in our power to be there for her when she can't be.
Amen.
And how many other areas and people and places does that apply to? I'm saying there's work to do. Don't wait to get good enough to do it, or we'll never do nothing.
Amen.
Our sufficiency is not in self. It is in a Savior named Christ who can, did, and will do it again in your life and in mine. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm done this morning. We'll get back to this evening. Head bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word. Lord Jesus, take your word. Minister to us, Lord. Speak it to us, God. Holy Spirit of God, make it real. God, I pray you'd speak eternal life into these words. Speak to your people. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed as the musicians are playing. I wonder this morning if God has spoken to your heart. I wonder this morning if you have been introduced to the saving grace of God. If you hadn't understand already before you got here this morning, there's a sovereign God of heaven who came to you in grace and prepared the way and made straight, made this place ready for you to receive the message. God was looking for you. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. God loves you this morning, whether you realize it or not. God loves you. He loved you enough to die for you. Would you come to Him and receive His free gift, the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Some of you may be in the school of grace this morning. I hope all of us are. God's trying to teach you something. Why don't you thank Him this morning? He cares enough about you to school you in His grace, to train you. Not in wrath, but in mercy and in grace.
Like
He loves you enough to train you and teach us, and to all of us, His grace
like
is sufficient.
On,
no matter how bad you've messed up, no matter how bad of mistakes you make, God's grace is sufficient for you. It's just as real today, there's just as much today as they have ever been. On your best day, there's just as much today. Come to Him, ask Him to forgive you, get your heart right. Get your family right. Get your marriage right. Get that relationship right between you and your children. Let God do a work in your heart. Oh, Lord, thank you. Have your way, Lord. These are praying. Have your way. God, as those are praying in the parking lot, touch and move, Lord. Make us a stronger church, God. Help all of us to be part. Do our part. Pull our part. Pray our part. participate our part. I pray, oh God, you'd help us witness, tell, and serve.
In this life,
strengthen things which remain, Lord. Have your way.
Sometimes it's hard to stand, and the weight of this world is weighing heavy on your hands. Through the trials and temptations that we go through day by day, just remember what He's done, how He's been with you all the way. His grace will be sufficient no matter where you are, what you're going.
We can help you anyway after the service. Please let us know. God's grace is sufficient. The manifold grace of God. Thank Him for it today. As you go home, thank Him for it.
If there's any good in me, give the praise to Him. He began a new work when I got saved. Like Mephibosheth in Lodabar, crippled by the fall, I was headed for hell, but grace underneath me when I'd fall in the way, grace on either side when I stray. Grace above me keeps me humble and grace and mercy follow me, it's grace, amazing grace. When troubles come my way and I don't know where to turn, I bow on my knees and seek His face. When mountains are so tall, I stumble and fall. So weak I can't go on, He gives more grace. Grace underneath me when I fall in the way. Grace on either side when I stray. Grace above me keeps me humble in the way. Grace and mercy follow me. Amazing grace. When I make it home, I'll enter heaven's gates. I'll bow before the Lord and humbly say, nothing in my hand I bring, to your cross I cling. Through eternity I'll thank Him for His grace. For since the day by grace my soul was saved from sin, like Moses in the cleft of the rock, I'm safe in Him. Not by works of righteousness, nothing I have done. I'm safe inside the rock of grace, Jesus, God's own Son. Grace underneath me when I fall in the way. Grace on either side when I stray. Grace above me keeps me humble.